Behind the Black, Bob Zimmerman is here. He's going to give us an understanding of the next flight of Starship Super Heavy, which now with the Trump administration firmly in place in Washington, we have reason to believe will go off on time, depending upon atmospheric conditions. Bob, a very good evening to you. I believe Mr. Musk said next month. It's next month within 24 hours. Is he on track? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, it's hard to say. There was a really good update on NASAspaceflight.com describing what's been going on, and so I linked to it on Behind the Black. People should read it if you want to know what's going on. It does look like maybe by the end of February they will be ready to launch. The one part of this update that I found most interesting, they were not just looking, by the way, on the most recent next launch. They were looking at the series of launches to follow, because SpaceX wants to do launches as close to monthly basis as possible. So it looks like, based on all the testing they have to do on the next and preparation of the next prototypes, it will be late in the month in February if it happens then. One of the things that's interesting is they are already looking into the possibility of reusing the Super Heavy booster that they recovered on the seventh flight just a month ago. SpaceX did that in the early days of Falcon 9. They were quickly working to reuse boosters as they recovered them. Once they checked them out and thought they were in good shape, they wanted to fly them again very quick. And they have a lot more experience in this matter now than they did years ago. So it's very possible that's going to happen. That'll be very exciting. One weakness of this update from NASAspaceflight.com is that they really don't understand the political situation, how the change in administration is going to impact the regulatory situation. Under Biden, the FAA routinely slow-walked licensing. They would insist that they had to do their own investigation after SpaceX would complete its investigation. So when SpaceX got done, you'd have to wait anywhere from a month to 3 or 4 while they retyped SpaceX's investigation, because they don't have the ability to do the investigation. In the previous Trump administration, that never happened. What would happen is FAA would observe the SpaceX investigations, but as soon as SpaceX was done, they'd pretty much say, okay, you're ready, you said so, we're happy, go. I expect that to be the situation once again in this Trump administration, that as soon as SpaceX completes its investigation, the FAA will do a very quick review. I'm talking about maybe almost cursory, and they will give them a launch license. So that, I think the regulatory situation is going to disappear as a problem over the next few years, John.
Starliner has two astronauts at the ISS because Starliner failed. What about the tweet? What did Trump ask? What did Musk say? Starliner's astronauts marooned, abandoned, lost, whatever.
Well, this was Elon Musk, I think, was trolling the press. He sends out this silly, very silly tweet earlier this week stating that Trump has asked SpaceX to bring home the two astronauts stranded on the space station as soon as possible. We will do so. Terrible that the Biden administration left them there so long. And then Trump followed up repeating, we're going to get those guys back. We're going to save them with SpaceX going to save them. This is absurd, because SpaceX is already scheduled to bring them back. It already has a Dragon capsule up there to bring them back. They're scheduled to come back in April, and they would have come back in February. But SpaceX caused the extra 2-month delay when it asked for more time to prep the next crew capsule, a new capsule, for the new crew to come up. So rather than have the new crew come up in early February so that the old crew, the stranded astronauts, could come back soon thereafter, they had to push everything back an extra, like, almost 2 months, a month and a half. And so it's SpaceX the reason why it's an additional delay. And this was a silly tweet, because it was very clear NASA was not going to change this schedule, because there are too many ramifications that are bad by trying to push this earlier. And that was exactly what happened. NASA immediately announced shortly thereafter that, yes, we're going to get them back as soon as possible in April as planned. I point out that with this this tweet, the press went completely stupid. As expected, I was expecting this. Numerous outlets acted like we're going to suddenly launch a Dragon capsule to rescue them. There were no plans to do so. They were completely unaware that there was a Dragon capsule already on board, ready to go, already on the station, ready to bring them back. It's really a shame that there are no beat reporters at mainstream presses that know this stuff and then can report it intelligently, because the mainstream writers they ask for just don't know anything and report things badly, John.
Bob, I don't want to let Starliner Boeing get away. This is a failure of an organization that was once the backbone of NASA, a complete disgrace.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely correct, John. We'll have more to say about this in the next week or so. But yes, Starliner, having not succeeded to become an operational craft now, years behind schedule, is just an utter disgrace. Boeing, the new CEO, seems to be really pushing hard to fix things. But when it comes to their space division, they are so deep in the ground. They've dug a hole so deep, I don't know how they can get out at this point. I mean, for one thing, we don't know when Starliner is going to fly again.
Right.
NASA's not going to pay them any more money for their manned ship until it completes a demo mission successfully. Boeing doesn't have the money to commit to flying another mission without cash. There are rumors that NASA might approve a Starliner cargo mission to ISS, which they could pay for, and then they could fly that mission, test their corrections, and be okay for a manned mission operational next, where they'd get paid. There's been some talk of that, but that hasn't been decided, so we don't know.
Firefly's Blue Ghost, where is it, Bob?
It is in Earth orbit, but it has gotten its first picture of the moon, and it is it is slowly raising. It did a second orbital burn so that it's raising that Earth orbit in preparation for its transfer into Loon orbit in the coming weeks. It has been in space for about 2 weeks. It has another 4 weeks to go before it reaches lunar orbit and is in position to descend to the surface. But everything is going well. All the instruments are in good shape, and everything looks good. It's a good news. Go ahead.
What is Astroforge?
Okay, Astroforge is startup company that wants to do mining on asteroids, and it's already done one demo mission in Earth orbit of its CubeSat that would do this, that would at least do the preliminary scouting work. And it's now scheduled, it's now going to fly in late February its second mission, which will do a close flyby of an asteroid taking pictures. And this week, it named what that target asteroid would be. It'd been keeping it secret because I don't think they want anyone to know what they're aiming for, because this is potentially valuable. They named the asteroid, it's called 2022 OB5. It's about a kilometer wide. It might be a high-value metal-filled asteroid,
right?
Lots of metal. And what they're planning to do is that asteroid, they will fly their spacecraft by it when it's close to Earth and get imagery and get scouting data, basically. And they brag about this case of this mission. It's a planetary asteroid mission that's going to cost a total of $6.5 million. To quote their CEO, hopefully we're going to show the world that NASA doesn't need to be funded for $5 billion missions when we can do it for much less. And that is just another example of how competitive private enterprise, will look for efficiencies and do things much cheaper when they can.
Launch contracts, two companies, Firefly and Ariana. Which one do we prefer, Bob?
Well, it's interesting. Firefly is planning to do 5 launches from Vandenberg this year. They are also building a launch pad at Cape Canaveral. And they initially announced they want things to get out of the way so they can also launch from the S-Range spaceport in Sweden in 26. So that would give them, Vandenberg, Cape Canaveral, S-Range, at least three, maybe four places they can launch from. So the Firefly is looking really good right now in this sense. Ariane Space also got a new two several launch contracts from the European Space Agency. They're going to be launching three more contracts to use Ariane 6 to launch ESA payloads. One's an Earth observation satellite, and the other ones are GPS satellites for Europe. These are actually being forced upon Europe. European wants to launch things on its own rockets. The only rocket they've got is Ariane 6, which is too expensive. But in order to keep European rockets, their rockets running, they've got to use it. This is one of the reasons that a number of member nations of the European Space Agency, Germany, Italy, France, and the United Kingdom, are pushing hard to get their private rocket startups moving, because they don't want to really use the Ariane 6. It costs them too much money, which is money they can't use for other things in space. And so they want to get these private companies going so that they can finally get a replacement for the Ariane 6 as quickly as possible.
Whitehall is what you say when you mean the English civil service, the United Kingdom civil service. Whitehall hates space is a conclusion after a recent episode. One more time, though, we'll give Whitehall a chance. What is Orbex?
Orbex is a rocket startup that was originally trying to launch from the Sutherland spaceport in Scotland. They had actually got a 20-year lease. They were building their own launch pad. And they asked for a license to launch in early 22. That's four, 3 years ago. They still have not gotten the launch license from the Civil Aviation Authority, that Whitehall, as you would say, John. And so about a month ago, they suddenly announced that they're switching their launch facility to the Saxaford launch pad in the Shetland Islands, Scotland. That switch upset a lot of people in your UK and in northern Scotland, because they had invested a lot of money depending on Orbex staying at Sutherland. But Saxaford has got its launch licenses from the Civil Aviation Authority. It only took them 2 years. And so Orbex looked at this and said, well, we got to switch so we can launch. There's a possibility, though, that the delays are causing Orbex cash flow problems. And I think Whitehall has now recognized that there's a chance that their regulatory red tape was going to put a second company rocket startup out of business. They did that to Virgin Orbit. And if that would happen, it's likely that no one would ever want to launch from the UK ever again. And so this week they announced, the United Kingdom government announced, it is awarding rocket startup a grant of $25 million, which they called an investment in the company. And I don't think it's that at all. I think it's attempting to give them some cash so they won't go belly up and they won't go bankrupt. And then for the UK's regulatory red tape won't be blamed and won't hurt their other spaceports. That's the story, John. I don't know if Orbex is ever going to launch, though, because once again, they still haven't gotten all their approvals from the bureaucrats.
Boom is the name of a company putting up a supersonic plane. They're in the beta testing. Do we need a supersonic plane, Bob?
You have to understand, it's not a question of we need it. It's a question of whether there's a demand for it in the market. And both United Airlines and Japan Airlines have paid Boom money to buy commercial supersonic passenger jets to fly their passengers on. They've both done so. So they have part of the investors. They think there's a demand for this. And Boom's trick is they're trying to develop a supersonic jet that won't make a lot of noise over land, which would get around these regulations that prevent flights over land. They did their first supersonic flight using their prototype XB-1 test plane, successfully broke the sound barrier on this flight three different times, and that was once again to test whether their system is reducing sonic boom sounds. And if so, that's they're going to do more testing, but they are moving closer to building the full-scale Overture spacecraft plane, which will be sold to airlines as a commercial jet.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring asteroid NEO.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.